Hey, peoples. All right, y'all gonna get enough of.
Dog, he started, and that is exactly when his internet kicked out. And I don't know. It sounded like he was gonna have a good intro.
He was gonna do it.
I'm not exactly sure. And at this point, this has never happened to us before. So,
No.
I'm gonna let it happen. You know what? As a matter of fact, while he gets back in, I'm just gonna go ahead and wait.
I feel special. Wait. God dang.
He's coming back in. Here we go.
He back in.
Here we go. Hold this one second then.
That's hilarious.
Holding.
I just pressed the wrong button. I was like,
Oh, I thought your internet. Mr. Avery. In that case, I'm gonna go ahead. We're gonna add that pin there. All right, now we're gonna act like none of that happened, but I'm gonna leave it all in. Guess, don't worry. We're gonna reveal you in a second. Here we go. What were you saying before you pressed the wrong button?
People gonna get enough of talking about you know me before. Nigga, I'm bald now. The hair ain't coming back. All right, 2020 took my hair. If you knew me from before, just realize it's not. All right, I'm a different dude now. I am bald. It's life, and that's just what it is from now on. All right, there's no hair. It's not coming back. Okay, in fact, there's hair. It's just it don't grow in key places. Claire be roasting me like you're not really bald. The structure, all right, the foundation of my hair. Go ahead. I see your face. It's not.
No. Here's what I will say. All right. And people like to throw out bald as a joke. I never get it because there are so many other things you could joke about me, but it's never like they go for the bald. And I'm like, first of all, I'm 41. All right. So when I was in middle school, Michael Jordan was the GOAT, like super popular. When I get into high school, Michael Jordan's still the GOAT. I was shaving my head. That was it. Like you can go find high school pictures of me. That was it. I was already cutting my hair very extremely low. One, I like Jordan, and two, it's very cheap. It's very cost effective. So I was doing that. No beard. Very doughish. When I look back in the old pictures. What's going to happen is when I got to college. When I got to college, I tried to grow my hair out. Because by that time, you know, Ja Rule and them was getting popular. That's how old I am. And I was like, yo, I'm going to grow my hair out. I'm going to get in on this, you know, get braided on the yard action. And I remember my roommate, man, he woke me up. And he was like, hey, it's not coming in strong in the front. And that's really what it is. It's not just about the hair. It's not just having it, because I have hair. If I don't cut my hair, it comes, right? But it's not strong. You know, if your hair is, like, politely saying, like, oh, hi, here I am, like, that's not good hair. And a lot of dudes is out here rocking
my hair
very polite hair. Like, your hair is too polite. If your hair ain't prominent, just get rid of it. I know some people be like, oh, but my head shape. I'm gonna tell you right now, if your hair ain't prominent, it's bringing more attention than anything to your head shape. Just gotta let it go. For the people that still have their hair, enjoy it. Take care of it. You know, let it last. The Lord has blessed me with the beard, which a lot of y'all hair people that didn't, you know what I'm saying? He gives his battles. To his strongest people, something like that. I don't know.
You quoted it all wrong, but it is. I see where you was going.
You know what I'm saying?
And I was riding with you.
The Lord gives his battle. What is that?
Strongest is that? Battles to his strong. We don't know it.
He gave me the battle of bald. Like, this that's just what it is.
This is so much easier. It's so easy when somebody's like, hey, you finna slide. I'll be like, cool. I got a fresh haircut every single time.
Every time. Every time. Time. If you do not shave your head and you go out with the stubble, that just looks horrible. So people like bald brothers.
Looks like Matt Lauer.
Shave. And you know what? You know, I feel like white guys can pull off the slight
stubble. They have to, because the alternative.
Exactly. They have to, because if a white guy with too crisp of a head, I gotta know you. Like, I'm like, ugh.
Bill Burr can pull it off because he's famous.
That's because we know you. But if I didn't know Bill Burr.
He has a black wife, not a black wife. He has a actual
black wife. If I saw Bill Burr and I did not know him and he was following his black wife to the car, I might have to help her. Because I was like, oh my God, you just almost got jumped by a skinhead. And she's like, no, that's my husband. I was like, oh, you're the razor on your head is crisp.
It is crisp.
Shots out to Bill.
Shots out to us being bald and black and ugly as ever. Ever I stay Houston down to my sacks and to my bald head. It's all Houston. If I could grow hair right here, I'd get a south side fade, but it don't come right here. It come everywhere else. So I guess what is that? Like
you can get a shag.
No.
Grow it in the back, man. Dallas represent.
A shag with nothing in the front really unks it out.
Innovative.
It's the Sherman Helmsley.
Innovative. But you know what else, too? You know what I find wild? Nobody has tried to bring back the Sherman Helmsley.
If you look like a deacon or a pastor. I ain't trying to do that. It's already sad enough right now.
You're telling me black guys can't Jason Statham it?
No, you have to. If you're going to rock that, there's formulas, all right? If you're going to rock that, you have to be a small, in-shape person, right? Okay. You're going to do that.
Okay, I don't check either of those boxes. All right. So,
if not, neither do I. It's going to suck for you. Okay. So, it is what it is. Once again, oh no, it's them again. It's them boys from In My Humble Opinion podcast. Thank you for joining us today. All right, this is In My Humble Opinion. I am Avery, like a very nice guy, also known as Avery, because it's A_VERIIII. That's me. It's Avery, also known as Vince McMahon's. And I have my brother here with us today, co-host extraordinaire, Jess Devon, ladies and gentlemen, Jess Devon.
I'm going to clean this room one day. People have commented, like, sent me messages. Like,
you look like an accountant.
Why are you calling from just a messy office? Like, at first it was like jokes. Like, why are you calling from? I don't know what they were saying, but now it's just like, yo, your room is a mess. Like, clean it. And I was like, all right, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
That's it's either here or there. Huh?
There's some progress.
There's been some progress. People don't know what's going on, though.
They don't know.
They don't know what's happening. I'm cleaning up stuff. I'm doing things. I'm making things happen.
I was talking to George Young the other day about that because I was like, no, we're doing this thing. We're doing it. Because he goes, man, I like y'all better when y'all was in the studio. I said, hey, brother.
Everybody like it. But they'd be like, dog, I really like y'all's show. I really like it when you're in the studio. You have studio money? No, I'm just kidding. Now, Omicron is...
We're doing some things.
And Omicron is wild, dog. It's just...
Omicron is wild.
The last time we... You know, I'm not going to share that story because I don't... The last time we were in the studio, I was just like, let's take a hiatus for right now. That's neither here nor there. Either way,
let's just keep it moving like a drive-by. Jess Devon, man writes articles, best writer that I know on the planet Earth. Maybe not on Jupiter, because there's some better writers on Jupiter.
I mean, it's cool, but you don't read, so it's all right.
I can't read. What are we talking about?
You don't read.
No. I cannot read. Why are you going to just throw this out here?
Hey, most people don't read because I had a number of people confront me about an article like, yo, why am I not listed higher up on the list? I was like, because it says in the first paragraph, the list is out of order, in no particular order. They was like, oh, I ain't read that. I was like, all right, that's cool. It's all right. I would do the same thing. You just go, you look for your name, you'd be like, boom, we good to go.
Nobody reads anymore because when they talk about that thing about how people just read the headline and keep it moving, I was like, yeah, we're doomed. Because that is literally, I'll write something down and I'll be like, so wait, hold on, you didn't get that? And they'll be like, what are you talking about this? I'm like, look right here, it says it. Like, I wrote it down. Like, but it is what it is.
I still read. I read. You know, I pick up books and stuff like that. I watch a lot of TikTok, though. So, you know.
I read a lot of articles on the phone. So
balance.
And putting everything on the phone is so much easier. And listening to books, I'll be like, man. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. Look, it's not about us. All right. It's not about us. It's about the artists that we meet. It's about the Houston artists. It's about the artists in Texas. It's about the artists in the United States, the artists in the world. Now, one great thing is, look, I went to the press junket. All right. It was cool. If you know me, we were the bell of the ball, the press junket for the loud. Yeah.
Bell of the ball.
The bell of the ball of the press junket. Okay. All right. They made us look amazing. Okay. Sheila Jackson Lee rolled up on us and said, I want to be on your podcast. We're going to do that. But there was a lot of people that we met. All right. We met a lot of people from Flip to everybody else. Like we met everybody. A lot of people that we know, but one guy in particular very much stood out. He just walked up to us, had great conversation, and it was because another thing, we are working in the rap and R&B hemisphere. That's what we do. But this guy in particular does a myriad of different genres of music. It's just that his personality just bled through. Like, you talk to a lot of people, and I remember everybody, but this guy, Jack, I actually gave him my personal phone number because I was like, yo, this dude is awesome. I've said his name already. Jack, how you doing, Jack? You can't, really?
Boom, you can hear me, right?
Oh, yeah. We can hear you now. We can hear you.
I'm in here, man. Am I in the right room?
Good. You're in the right room. You're in the right spot. You're in the right place.
All right, because before I got here, it was a white person that was talking on the phone. So I just wanted to let y'all know y'all be having technical issues over there, man. Y'all be having technical issues, man. I don't want to see no more white people until we talk.
Why are
about
you roasting
people.
Us?
I'm sorry. That was crazy.
This is
man.
The
but
first
hey,
episode where he's made a mistake like that. I don't know how
I know.
He pressed that button.
That was wild, bro.
That was wild.
That was fucking wild, bro. Hey, but it's cool though. I do want to say thank y'all, man, because, man, when I saw y'all, I was like, man, any dude that's bald-headed and black, he definitely got some money. He definitely made to do something great. So when I saw y'all bald heads, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely about to go and speak to these guys. You know what I'm saying? The beards was popping.
I disagree.
What? Really?
I know too many homeless people that same stature.
But this is the question, though. The question is, if you homeless and bald and you can afford a shaver and you can find a place to shave your head, you pretty creative as a homeless person. Because you know, the homeless people I know don't give a damn. They don't give a damn.
This has made me ask some very serious questions. Some very serious questions. Thank you. You made me question. You know what? You can't get on here and roast us. You literally just talked about getting an S curl.
I'm sorry. I know. Now listen.
Talked about getting an S curl. And we talked about that.
It was wrong.
The S curl is for people that are close to the border. Like close to the border of crossing over. Like you can't just rely on the S curl to do everything. Before I had hair, you and I have the same hair texture. I would have never.
Not 4C, brother.
I'm a 4C.
Yeah. I would have never gone for the S curl.
Beauty gurus.
I don't know what direction does it go in. Route. Like the more it go, like 4C, is there a 5C? Is there a 3C?
It might be a 5C, but you know, we will never see. Oh, but it is. We will.
From curly to straight, you wasn't making, S curl wasn't carrying that over.
But listen, you have to own your mistakes. I am owning the mistake
how
of
long,
getting that S curl.
How long did you keep the S curl?
So the S curl was popping.
You know what? Wait, actually, because you already told us it was bad and it kind of fried your hair.
After a while.
Let's call it a T curl. Let's not call it an S curl. I don't want the
because it did straighten my shit out.
How long did you keep the T curl?
I kept the T curl for at least a good 6 months. Kept going back to it. Did it again. It was elongated. I had
curl
experience.
Did you went somewhere and paid them to do it, or you went and got the Duke box?
I got the little blue box that had the black guy on it.
It had to be a professional one.
His shits was looking nice. I mean, his shits was looking nice. You know, S-Curl, we got to talk about that because it didn't come out like the photo. And I hate when I do things and it don't sound like and it don't look like the photo. You know what I'm saying?
Did the gentleman on the box have hair like yours?
I mean, you couldn't tell from
the S-Curl. That's right. That's S-Curl's fault.
He looked at him,
he was like, he light-skinned, I'm light-skinned.
S-Curl should have a before and after. Like, hey, dog, this is where you start. And if you are any curlier than this.
Inside the box.
Nah.
The instructions inside the box. You don't know what's going on until after you get in the box. So it's
For 6 months, 6 months you live with this mistake. At what point in the 6 months did you say, first of all, who told you to stop? Because I know that a loved one had to step in.
I was in college, man. I was in my first part, man. I was running to the cafeteria. My parents came to get me, bro. And all I know was my mom said, I don't know what's going on, son. But all I saw was little bits of pieces of your hair flowing in the wind. Mm. And I said, damn. I thought I was looking good. You know, I walked in the cafeteria, it was girls and they was looking at me. It was like, yo, oh my God. But their oh my God was probably because of my hair. Talk about absolutely, absolutely destroyed. Like destroyed. It was a college called Texas College. You would not know this place unless you Google Texas College, literally. Yeah. I went there with my homie. And I can only honestly say, do not follow your friends to college because it was a prison. As soon as you went in there, it had the prison beds. Everything was prison watch. It had the prison gates. And literally everybody in there was black and looked like they were in prison. So literally, I'm literally like, yo, this don't look like the shit that I'll be seeing on TV. You know what I'm saying? Where are white people at? Ain't nobody for me. I just got in, bro. It wasn't the experience. Yes, Texas College, bro.
Texas College.
If y'all do want to go there, you will experience good things, you know, like sucking, you know, titties outside. And, you know, you're going to be sneaking in girls' dorms and, you know, have weird-ass experience like a transvestite trying to holler at everybody in the building.
Wow.
You're going to run into that type of stuff, bro.
Wow. Got to say transgender. Transgender. Got to say
transgender. I don't want to get canceled for this. I want to make sure y'all know. I do not judge. All of that is good with me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if you convince people to go to Texas College. Somebody here, you convince. You convince somebody to go to Texas College. You definitely will not be on Texas College's recruitment committee, though. They're going to be like, no. Not him.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because it was like going into something not knowing what you were getting out. And I can say the one thing that came good out of that is I'm not good at math. I was able to cheat all through algebra, 1, 2, and every math credit that I needed. And then I moved to Sam Houston. Boom! Knocked the weird credits out the way. And then bam, I get into the school that I need to be in with the mass communication program. So I'm like, all right, bet I'm in.
Allegedly.
So if you're going to do it, allegedly, you know, I ain't got the diploma on me, but we could talk about it later. But definitely, bro, if you're going to go to a college like Texas College, man, with all those people who out there doing it, bro, go there, knock out the credits that don't make no fucking sense if you're going to go to college. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the guy who's going to tell you not to go to college, but definitely you would want to go there to learn. You know what I'm saying? Every other homeboy that I had dropped out, they was there literally only to fuck hoes and didn't go to class and then got mad at me because I was going to class and doing my homework. I was, what?
Oh, wait.
It was weird, bro.
Your boy that you followed to college, did he?
Yes.
Make it through, or did he drop out?
Fortunately, you might see this, bro. I'm sorry. He didn't finish. And the only reason why he didn't finish is because we was just standing in the lunch line and some nigga from New Jersey with dreads said something weird to him about our backpacks, because you know we was weird ass kids back then. We had Mario backpacks on. And the dude with the dreads said some shit and I ain't hear it. But next thing you know, this nigga in here whooping his ass. And I'm like, damn, hold on. Don't get no dirt on that backpack. I grabbed the backpack and I moved out the way and let them finish doing their business because, you know, we paid like $20 for these backpacks. You feel what I'm saying? We were broke in college, bro. So you're not finna get this backpack dirty.
Oh, wait, you didn't help? You didn't jump in and help your homeboy?
If it's a one-on-one fight where I'm from, you let them boys handle that. Now, if any of his homies has something to say about anything, then it's a go. But my boy was whooping that ass, so I didn't need
to say it sounds like his boy didn't need help. That's why
he didn't. He like, knew this. He was a box.
If you have time to inventory stuff, like you're like, oh, let me get your backpack. Like, yeah. I feel like he was winning at that point. Bro. Like, oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, I mean, you see these cameras with these guys and they get into these fights, right? You never see the guy who's protecting your wallet, who's protecting everything that you need, because you get into a fight, you ain't worried about what you got in the backpack. Somebody your don't jacket, ran off with that hoe and
you
everything.
Take your chain off? Literally. Yeah.
You take your... Bro, I was that guy, bro. I was his best friend, still one of my guys. But I grabbed that backpack, everything he had, and after the fight was done, I had everything for him waiting, man. It's crazy, man. I'm such
and
a good
And then
man.
They kicked him out of school?
Yeah, they kicked him out of school only because at that point in Texas College, bro, it was a violent place to be in. Like I'm telling y'all, bro, it was literally prison. We was in fucking prison, bro. Like literally niggas was literally stealing laundry, stealing your shit, taking your shit out the dryer. And putting they shit in, and it cost a quarter to do it. Like, niggas was, and then it was niggas from Dallas. I remember y'all talking about a shag. All I saw was a bunch of fucking shags, bro. Shags and Dallas people and Houston people didn't like each other for no reason.
No reason.
No reason.
Mm-hmm. There's no reason for the Houston-Dallas beef. It's like two sisters that look almost similar, but they're like... Because I go to Dallas, I'm like, I don't know why I don't like y'all, but I don't. But also, I like y'all, but I also don't.
It's Dallas very, women?
It's very oh, weird. Dallas it's very women. Weird. There's no logical reason for Houston to dislike Dallas or Dallas to dislike Houston. Like we what? Should both dislike Austin.
Why?
What happened with that. Austin?
Why? What's up
you know
with
why?
Austin?
You know why? Austin is... Austin is it's a very small town, and because it's the cap, like Austin's a small town. You've been to Austin, like four cars will cause a traffic jam. Like when you get to Austin and you're always like, why is the traffic so bad? You're like, oh, there's only one road in this whole thing. Like everything you need to get to is on one road, and that bothers me. That bothers me a lot. Also the fact that, you know, it's a very Caucasian area, and every time I go there, they just act like weed is completely legal in front of the cops and everything. I'm like, God, y'all don't
give a damn.
Hide or nothing.
It gets, from a black person, it gets kind of racist in Austin. A lot
y'all
of people
not go hide.
Like, I love Austin, but you get like a lot of white people to be like, I love Austin. Yeah, you're good there. If you leave you guys to yourselves, look what happens.
Yeah,
it kind of gets racist.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah.
I just want to say thank you guys because I'm moving to Austin now. I got a very, very good outlook on it when I get there.
Look.
But you're probably moving because you got a good ass job, though. You're a really smart guy.
No, I'm living on a prayer, man.
Man. I mean, that's the spot to go for the type of music and things like that, too. Yeah. You know what?
That's what I'm saying.
We haven't even got to talking about the type of music and things like that you do. First off, what got you? Because I remember you mentioning that you were headed along a path where people were saying this is the type of music that you should be doing. And then you were like, nah, I don't want to do this no more. And you left it.
Yep.
So let's go back to the beginning. First off, when did you decide to get into music? And originally, what was the type of music you were doing?
Woo! All right. So music for me started in Houston because, you know, we are like the creators of how to fuck somebody ear up, right? I was literally in the car with my OG, RIP to him. Literally too little. This is the only memory that I have. And he went and got a screw tape, right? And put the screw tape in. And all I could feel was my body moving, bouncing in the car because of this music, right? And at that point, I had this weird sensation with fucking my ears up. I became addicted to it. So at that point, I started to grow with the music, and Cash Money, Juvenile, came out. He was playing Back That Ass Up. And this was the point where I learned, okay, this is going to be a repeating thing. I will hear something, like it, and play it over and over and over and over and over. I tell you, my girls say this, like, literally, I will binge on it. I didn't understand why, but I just love to play with my ears. And as I kind of got older, I got very creative. I took a boombox that my mom's had. She used to make burn CDs back then. I told her to go pay the dude. He put these instrumentals on his CD. I need it. All right, I got you. Boom. She come back. She get the CD. I popped that hoe in there. I had a flip phone, right? Started recording with written stuff that I was doing in my room while I was watching fucking anime, Dragon Ball Z. Weird, right? And all I know is I was talking about everybody who was in my school. And I sent it out in this weird-ass text that they used to have. And shit just went fucking nuts. It went fucking nuts.
What you mean by nuts? Positive, negative way?
Positive in the most negative way.
Wait. Explain that.
Niggas heard the shit. Niggas making diss songs about me. I don't even know these niggas. But now it's a competition with me because this nigga ain't here rapping. He did it good. So now I'm finna show niggas that I can rap too. And everybody was fucking garbage. Fucking garbage. I would listen to these dudes and I'd be like, man, I would be so scared too. I'd be like, yo, what if you pull out some shit like this and he start rapping with the muff. These niggas came in here with that, my whole look, Basta come down, nigga coming through, I got mouthwash in my backpack. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit, bro? You came over here, you want a freestyle, nigga? I'ma show you something. Boom, 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 killing niggas, left and right, bam, bam, bam. At that point, I knew I had something with words. It was just something about words and the power that they had with rhythm. And you can literally influence a whole fucking world with words and rhythm. People don't even think about that shit. You have Asians dressing like Black people, bro, rapping in their own culture, in their own ways, in their own languages.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking nuts, bro.
That's literally across the world. Here's the thing, though.
Across the world.
When you start out in rap. Now, when we were talking, though, at the press junket, you've moved on to other forms of music. And we were talking a long time about, we were talking about Willow Smith. I was saying we were talking about the issue of when Willow Smith came out. And Willow has been following in the footsteps of her mother. She is doing a lot of rock music. And they had that song, Catch a Vibe. I forget the name, but y'all know what the Catch a Vibe is, a little TikTok song. And the initial comments were, you got this Black person and this other person of color, and I like the vibe because they doing white people music. And a lot of people were like, oh, this is not white people music. this is Black music. It's just y'all have gotten used to hearing a certain style or a song coming from a certain group of people.
They stole it and took credit for it.
I mean, I was trying to be nice about it. Literally. But,
yeah, you can be nice.
Okay.
Elvis is terrible.
just to continue.
It's fucking crazy, bro.
But really, when it comes down to it, I said even the stealing thing. Like we've talked about this before, my brother and I, the people that participate in it. If you have a white person that's usually participating in black culture, I always feel like the first waves are very much like, I respect this culture. I like this artist. Mm-hmm. I am trying to be like this artist. Now, they fans and the fans of the fans that come after are like, I mean, I like you. Like, I don't even listen to rap. I like Eminem. You know what I'm saying? So you guys are like, worse. Man, I don't listen to no Chuck Berry or Bobby Womack, nothing like that. I like Elvis. And you're like, but Elvis likes them. Like, that's wild. But we've watched that progression. What got you into starting, like, you're like, yo, I'm going to start to move away from hip-hop and try out other genres of music?
Spiritual journey. Like I told y'all, I remember I was with the wrong, I was in very deep into this rap shit, bro. Very deep, only because it was just natural. It was like drinking water. It was like drinking water. And I went to this barbershop. And this dude, people talk a lot, right? So I'm a man of listening. I'd rather listen than to be speaking first. You know what I'm saying? So I'm listening to the conversations in the room. And this guy goes, yeah, man, I was just at the barbecue with hootie hoo woo 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 woo, right? And them niggas that he was talking about was famous. What was that nigga name? You probably know him. He was some Texas rapper who had a big name. He smoked a lot of weed. He's still Devin the Dude.
I was about to say Devin the Dude. Yeah, I was
like, Devin. Devin the Dude. And at this point, I have no connections in this industry. None. I still don't. But I met some people who had connections, right? I had nothing. So all I had was a fucking dream. That's it. A dream and some talent. He was cutting my hair. And I remember telling him, I was like, yo, listen. If I play you a couple records, you have to introduce me to Devin the Dude. And if you think that shit trash, I'll pay you an extra $20 on every haircut that I get. He was like, bet that. And you know, he was one of them. He big ass, crip ass dude. You know what I'm saying? Bearded, bald head.
That's why you attack us. I get
why?
It.
Bald okay. Head. Okay. Okay.
Bald head. I played him the songs that I had while I was in Sam Houston that also went crazy. One was called Henny and Dimes, and the other one was called Sauce Zombies. A rap record and a blended R&B / trap / rap record, right? Floored him. Long story short, this man has now grasped me, and I am under his wing. I'll repeat to him, by the way. He started taking me to the darkest places that I have ever been. Now, I'm from the hood already. I'm from Fondren and Braeswood, Southwest Houston. Grandma stay on MLK, South Park, baby, let's go. But this was a different ball game. We in studios with kingpins, dudes in here with machine guns. This bitch over here, why she doing that? What's that white? Oh, that's coke? The fuck? I'm in this weird ass situation where it's dangerous in this motherfucker, right? And we making an album called Crash Dump. We make a song called H-Town Bounce. Went crazy, by the way. I made that song and everything from that point, they were in the studio with me. They wanted me to write for the other artists. They wanted me to do this kind of thing. They want me to be in this place, but niggas getting killed over here. Niggas getting killed over here. Niggas telling me if anything happened to you, I got you. I'm literally like, what the fuck? You don't even know me, nigga. And it's just crazy. And I remember, bro, man, this is the point that turned my head, bro. I was in his crib And then he brought his homie over. He was a Mexican dude, big dude. He might see this one day. I don't know. But we was talking about XXXTentacion, bro. And all I know was he said something, man. He got killed this way. And I was like, nah, bro. He got killed in the car. He was trying to, you know, take his bag out, you know, motorcycles. And dudes came and they got him. All of a sudden, this nigga said, hey, listen, you may not know me, but I will fucking kill you. I will literally get that shit out of my car and I will fucking kill you. And his white friend is looking at me like, he will kill you. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? I'm like, okay, but in a weird way, it's serious because I don't know this man. He tatted the fuck up. Him and my OG talking about how they used to do shit in prison. I'm like, yo, this nigga's real, like he real deal. He crazy though. Right? He was on coke, by the way.
I was wondering where the segue came from, because I was like, y'all were talking about Tentacion, and then he's like, by the way.
I will fucking kill you, bro.
Okay.
I'm just like, yo, and this nigga just being mad disrespectful. And at this point, I'm like, yo, something is not right here. You know, God kind of like, and you know, people call him God. I call him the master creator because he creates everything, right? Something, and we all have had that feeling, right? Something is telling me, yo, you gotta fucking stop. You can't do this shit, bro. And then the words start popping into my brain, extortion at the highest rate. Cause you don't know these niggas, but they wanna do stuff for you. Oh, you definitely in a debt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two, do you know how many of these rap niggas is getting popped because they want to talk about this fucking gangster shit, bro, and knowing that this energy might come back one day? It might come back one day. My shit is already out there in the open. It might come back one day, all the shit that I used to do. You feel me? And all I know is, bro, and I'm going to be honest with y'all, I just broke down fucking crying, bro. I broke down fucking crying because I'm already in too deep. How the fuck I'm gonna get out? Mm-hmm. So what I did was I called them, told them how I felt, told them about this Mexican dude who was talking all of this shit. They go straighten this nigga out. He in the lot apologizing to me. He apologizing to me, dog. But this shit ain't real, bro. What? You only like that because, you know?
Yeah, because of that.
You don't fuck with me like that. If you around me, I don't trust you. I don't trust none of this. All of this is to make gain off of a talent that I have, bro. And that's not even me trying to be cocky because it's a lot of niggas that have talent. But like I told y'all, it's like drinking water. Niggas know when I had to go and showcase everything to everybody that these niggas is introducing me to, the first thing they gonna look at is who the fuck is you, nigga? Now you have to fucking prove yourself over and over again. I proved and overproved over and over again. And niggas was just like floored. So they want me to do all of this shit, but disappear. Situation, nigga, I'm working at Verizon. This nigga pull up in the car. My job. Verizon, I work at, nigga. I'm on the sales floor. This nigga walk up in here.
All right, so we are back. We had a little bit of a signal thing, but okay. So you're working at Verizon, and what happens now?
Bro, my OG pull up. I ain't talked to him in months. He blowing me up. Niggas want to know where I'm at. He pull up at my job, bro. This nigga pull up at my job. It's an officer. He looking at him. He looking at me. Everybody looking at me like, what the fuck? What is this? So this nigga comes and he gets to my ear and he say, hey, we need to talk to you real quick. All I know is I had this lady, her name is Tish. I love her so much. She came in front of me and she was like, you ain't finna talk about it to nobody. She was literally like trying to defend me on some shit. But I'm like, no, we good. Like, that's the homie. I go out there and I tell him. I say, bro, all that shit we did, that whole Crash Dummy album that I put out was literally that Crash Dummy shit. I was literally putting myself in a dangerous ass vehicle, not knowing where I'm going, just to be the fucking dummy in the end, bro. Just to be the fucking dummy. And I show you how music is just, sometimes you just know when niggas have it. You start talking to yourself through the music and you hear it back a couple of months, a couple of years later, and you be like, damn. All of that shit that I went through was a stage in my life, and it was literally talking about everything. I talked about revenge in that hoe. And I was talking about getting revenge on the niggas who was around me that fucking tossed me to the fucking side. I was literally talking about how I was fucking sad and how I was already a crash. I didn't even know I was a crash dummy until that album was done. And now I'm going down this downward spiral because the one light that I had to be into this industry was fucking gone. I can't fucking get in this hole no more. What the fuck I'm gonna do now? So I'm literally just fucking falling into the depths of despair. And I just remember sitting on my sofa with a fucking pistol in my hand because I felt like niggas was trying to come and kill me every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Had a knife just in case the gun didn't work because I'm finna go straight warrior in this bitch. Just literally fucking going nuts. And then all I know is my TV was on and I don't listen to sermons, right? I don't listen to sermons. I'm not a religious guy. You feel me? T.D. Jakes popped on the screen and it was a sermon that was called You Bigger Than You Think. And this man was literally talking to me through the screen. I'm not on drugs. I'm not on drugs. I'm not on drugs. I was so deep down in that dark, the only person that could come and get me was God. It wasn't you, no human, no animal, no action, no nothing could get me out this fucking spot right now because I done already tried everything. So I'm down here and this man talking to me through the screen and I was like, that can't be, that's not God. That can't be God. God was just talking to me. If so, I need you to be clearer with me. Do something else.
Yeah.
Let me see something. Bro, bro, I went to work and a man walked into the store. He was homeless. So, you know, when you walk into a Verizon store and you homeless, we know you ain't finna buy no cell phone. You feel me? I ain't finna make no commission off your ass. But he come straight up to me. He was like, man, can you help me? And, you know, in Verizon, everybody's very cutthroat. If you ain't making them no money, they don't want to talk to you. They're going to send you to somebody else. They're going to tell you the cost.
That's sales,
you
know what I'm saying? Brother.
Go talk to customer service. Yeah, we selling right here. We're trying to get bread.
Mm-hmm.
But something told me, yo, man, because I'm never that person. If you come to me and you need help, bro, I'm going to help you, whatever it is. And I'm going to see it through. So this man, he get to the table. He talking about all his problems and shit. Telling me about all of this. And then he goes, you meant for something great. Don't ever doubt the fact that you don't know nothing. And my boss literally came up there and was like, yo, sir, you really have to leave. And he was like, okay. But I just told the man, I was like, yo, man, you amazing, right? And he said, yo, no, you amazing. And I was like, man, what the fuck was that? That can't be God. God, show me something else. Make it drastic. Me and my girl, we getting gas. A crackhead, bro. A crackhead. Comes up to me, he asks for a dollar. Like I said, I'm a very helpful person. I give him five. He goes to me, he says, go for it. Go for it. Tweet out. Just go for it. He don't know me. Mm-mm. Bro, from that point on, weird. I don't even want to call it weird because now it's like trying to explain to somebody what a ghost looks like. They can only use their imagination. You feel me? Mm-hmm. God can only be experienced. All of these is stories. I'm damn near telling you a Bible. That's what it is. Stories for people who don't really experience. Bro, I was in a fucking studio, bro. And all I know was the nigga said, yo, this sounds like one of them I Hate You Mom songs. I wrote. Niggas know I write really fast because it just comes. It just falls out. Like I told you, drinking water. I make a song called Wasted. And there was a guy in the studio, never met him before. He might be my manager one day. The song was a fucking smash, right? He takes me outside and he starts to explain all of this shit about the spiritual journey. Now, I'm gonna make this short, but for y'all, because y'all my homies, I'm gonna go ahead and give y'all that, right? So y'all know about the Garden of Eden, right?
Yeah.
The Garden of Eden had two trees, one of knowledge of good and evil, and there was another tree. What was the name of that fucking tree? The tree of life. Tree of life is your positive thoughts. The tree of knowledge of good and evil are your negative thoughts. And each thought that you have is a seed. So every negative thought that you have is a seed. Every positive thought that you have is a seed. And you water those seeds the more you think about them, right? And you water the seed so much that it starts to grow and then manifest into your reality. Everything that we have gone through have been a cause of psychological, unnatural seeds that we have planted.
So do you feel
do
you feel like at that point you had been, I guess, watering the negativity? You had been growing the negativity and you'd be watering the negative seeds.
I watered them hoes, man. Manifested right in front of me.
Did you feel like, okay, so because I had spent so much time watering this aspect of my life in negativity, I needed to step completely away from this style of music. Not to say that hip hop was bad or negative, but it's like I've already been entrenched in this. So I need to do something completely different.
It wasn't even the thought of doing something different. You ever had something just find you before?
Huh.
Like you wasn't looking for it, but it just found you.
Yeah.
Every song that I made after that Crash Dummy album found me. And I noticed that my creativity, my way with words, my way with my voice, I had limited so fucking low. I limited so fucking low. Not saying hip hop is a low form, but everybody in their mama can do hip hop. It's only about delivery that really makes a nigga say, huh. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your delivery is the main thing in hip hop. You could talk about garbage bag, put you in the garbage bag. You talk back, boom, garbage bag. What? Nigga say, garbage bag. What? That's all hip hop
ever was. We've talked about that where we're like, yo, like at its, at, hip hop has a low barrier for entry in terms of, it's like poetry, where it's like, I'm telling people, anybody can do poetry. A lot of people do it very badly.
Mm-hmm. Very bad.
When you excel at poetry, it's amazing. When you excel at hip hop, it's amazing. But anybody can do it. Like, anybody can get up here and speak words. And it's a little bit different than when you're getting into other aspects like singing. You know, it takes practice to hold a note.
Yeah.
It takes practice to get a lot of stuff down first before you get into it. So with the hip hop aspect, that's why I tend, my brother and I usually go for more lyrical rappers. I'm like, you got to show work. Like, you have to, I practice, I put this in, I'm showing you that I've actually worked at putting these words on the paper. But for you, as you were moving into, like, were you influenced by you hearing other songs? And then two, like, you're around hip hop people. So how is it that you start branching into, I'm going to start to move towards rock music? I'm going to start to, because how was that moving over there when you're like, yo, I'm doing all hip hop. The producers I work with are doing hip hop. Everybody around me doing hip hop. And you're like, but this other music also speaks to me. How was that transition?
This is the big misconception. People look at me and they think rock. They think rock.
Absolutely.
What captures, I think, what caught me was there was all of these different instruments, right? I remember watching the James Brown documentary. Get up! Get on! I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is fucking nuts. I'm watching documentaries on different artists. And there was one in particular called The Defiant Ones with Dr. Dre and Mr. Jimmy Iovine.
Yeah.
You start to see that your world that you created was this fucking big. Growing up in the fucking hood, ain't nobody playing no rock music, bro. Nobody's playing that shit. You so stuck in this little zone that you only see shit this big. You only hearing trap drums, bro. You only hearing trap drums and niggas with lyrics and niggas rapping, because that's us. That's part. We all of this.
Yeah.
We all of it. So I would be hearing these instrumentals, man. And I kid you not, I would literally go on YouTube and look up indie pop beat. I'll look up rock beat. I'll look up metal beat, grunge beats, all of these type of instrumentals. And like I said, it's like drinking water. Mm-hmm. It just comes out, and now you are making this different style of music. You are blending who you were and the new you, and they're becoming one thing. And that is what I think is the recipe to legendary. That's how it found me. I didn't even look for it. You know what I'm saying? It found me. It found me through artists that I never thought. 121 Guns. I'm like, man, this shit is fucking nuts.
This shit is hard. Yeah.
This shit is crazy. And through the jail, I rock. Even though that's Elvis. His way of performing that song was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
You grabbed me, bro.
Yeah.
You fucking grabbed my soul, man. What the fuck is this? It ain't just a bunch of niggas everywhere who just want to hear gangster rap. It was different.
Yeah.
And look, there are certain aspects to be said about the evolution of, I feel like a lot of artists get classified as rappers because they are simply black. And so, like, when I went to when I went to the Trippy Red concert. Avery, were you with me when I went to go see Trippy Red?
No, I didn't go
see him. I had not really listened to Trippy Red like that. But then I see him and I was like, Doug, if he came out in like the late 90s, the early 2000s, this is My Chemical Romance, TRL. And that's not knocking him. I'm like, this man is doing like a form of rock music, but y'all are like, oh, but he's black. So this is rap.
So he's a rapper.
And that's what it is, where it's like you get these divisions of rap music where because we want to define all black music as like this is rap or this is R&B. R&B, you get these guys that are just like, oh, no, you're doing something different than what we normally hear of as rap, but you are also black, and I don't know where we're going to play you because I got to play you on the black station. Therefore, and it's like, you know, when you see some of the artists where I'm like, especially I bring up Trippie Redd again, because I was like, your image is that of a rocker. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really what it comes down to. And I hear the artists that you talk about, and it's like, yeah, I'm like, you seem like a rocker, but it's a little different. I mean, you know, he's a controversy now, but there are a lot of things you could say, like, I don't think Travis Scott would be defined as a rapper if he was white. I think he makes great soulful rock music, but because he's black, they go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're definitely you are just a rapper. And I love rap. That is not to take a shot at rap. That is to look at the classifications of what a larger white audience is saying about this music. Like, I saw this guy, and I'm like, I feel like if you painted him another color, you'd be like, oh, he make a cool little pop song or a rap song, you know, or a rock song.
True. But
when you're black, they'd be like,
I mean, it's like Lenora. She rapper. Makes pop. Lenora makes pop, and then people are like, yeah.
So Lenora, it's like, a great singer out here in Houston. Yeah. She put out a very excellent pop album, like a fantastic pop album. But it is a thing where it's like, you get people like, well, how do we classify? It's R&B. This is definitely R&B. And you're like, and it really does. It puts all the black artists in two categories. Like, what were you? Were you R&B or were you rap?
Or you're rap. You're either and one. I mean,
branch off that, they go, oh, well, I don't know.
Even what we talked about before, back in the year, I don't know, what was it, 2001? When Nerd first came out, that first song, Rockstar, guaranteed there was guitars, they're skating and everything.
Yeah.
We bought the album. Went down to Blockbuster Music because I'm old. You had to buy CDs.
In the rap section.
You know where I went? I lick an alternative. Nothing. Rock. Nothing. Right there in rap. N-E-R. Nods. Nerd. I said, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Why'd y'all put
it in? It's a new, I'm not going to say it's a new thing. There has always been an idea of, I mean, look, you can go back and study the history of music where, like, the evolution of country music and the classification of country as a white art form is simply because it was black music, and then white people kind of took it over, and then Ray Charles made an excellent country album.
Yeah.
And then they went, nah, that's R&B. We're not going to put you in the same category. And you're like, oh, okay.
Even the fact of going back to, even the fact of how Zydeco music is not classified as country music. When
Clearly.
There's a reason.
Damn, I never thought of that.
Yeah, man.
Oh, there's so many.
It's a huge battle when you go and look. Google, there's a huge battle. There's not even a documentary on it. That's a thing. Like, it's a big battle of them being like, the Grand Ole Opry won't let them in.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it is a thing where it's like, this is the basis of the music, but it is more palatable when another group does it. And then once you guys do it, I don't want to classify that. So it's like, y'all are doing, and Zydeco is old music.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Ray Charles made an excellent country album, and they went, nah, this is not R&B, included with us. That's also going to be an R&B record.
But this is what I don't get. Is it because of I know we got the skin color right, but say if you've never seen who I was, right? Say if I had some kind of marshmallow persona going on, right? Is it the soul in the black voice that gives a song that that they have to be like, yo, that gotta be some type of, this is definitely rap or is definitely R&B, because we do have a certain part in our, I don't know what it is, but it's something that black people have that white people can't do unless they're like a different type of white person. Mm-hmm. Like my girl was in choir. Adele has that that only a black lady can really, that's what they born. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real, real.
I feel like,
real.
Vibrato. That's always that theory that great art comes from emotions and pain and feelings and things like that. And you got to feel it. Like, I don't think people question an Adele, or I don't think people question an Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse. I knew you were going there.
Because you felt it. Like, when Amy Winehouse is singing, her whole career up until her death, she is singing about real feelings that are hurt. This is not somebody, hey, I really like the way this song sounds and they sing it. Can you sing it? No, it's not that. It's literally, I felt this, and that is. You watch a lot of artists, and this is not going to be a let's pile on Caucasians thing. Look, I have a very serious problem with K-pop.
They use a lot of black sounds.
The evolution of K-pop is literally, because I was like, dang, I have no problem with you being a K-pop artist. I do have a problem with you not paying homage to all of the black scene. And when you say like, oh, I look back and I look at like New Kids on the Block, I was like, you're a copy of a copy, which is not authentic. Like, they copy somebody.
They're copying the edition.
And they, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, if you're not going to go all the way back and study who did it really well, you're studying somebody that it was just given to it. It didn't mean much to them. And you see where it's like, I mean, this is no shot against those bands, but New Kids on the Block, NSYNC, whatever, they're not still doing that music. Their people are still doing that music.
Even Justin Timberlake left at the right time.
Justin Timberlake is not doing that style of music. Justin Timberlake ain't make no album like Justified, which was all throwaway Michael Jackson beats. I will not.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson didn't want that album. Timbaland and Pharrell tried their hardest. Like, this is what it is. And Mike said, nah. And they gave all them beats to Justin, and that is a fantastic Michael Jackson album.
Listen to it. Don't it sound like it? Come on.
It sounds like it.
Better have you naked by the end of this song.
Best Michael Jackson impression.
That's a Michael Jackson song.
But you can't hold that unless people are constantly giving you this. You know what I'm saying? I would argue that, even Justin singing about Britney Spears felt a little bit of pain. He could sing something in the song. Like, that's just what it is. Like, really, when it comes down to it, there's a lot to be said about this. I feel this, and I'm going to sing, as opposed to I was given this. Mm-hmm. That's not even like a black, white, or anything thing. There are black artists that are just given stuff. And it's like, I can tell you're not authentic. You're not able to get this across, and that's just all it is.
Question. What are those qualifications of an unauthentic artist when we talk about actually like our people, right? What is the thing that you see that makes someone like, I know this isn't authentic?
It's nothing I necessarily see. I feel like authenticity just shines through. Like, look, I'm not saying people can't trick you, but the thing about this authenticity, it's going back to the Justin Timberlake, you can't maintain it forever. Eventually, and you get artists that say, hey, I'm gonna try out rap. I'm going to do it. And they get a great album out, and it's fantastic. But after a few albums, they go...
Let's not say Justin. Let's move it to Machine Gun Kelly. Justin Alder.
Machine Gun Kelly did a big flip.
You and I have had some debate with Machine Gun Kelly, because I said, the first time I saw Machine Gun Kelly, I said, it is only a matter of time before he says, I would like to move into real music like rock. And you're like,
Exactly.
No, Devon, you're wrong. It's really this guy.
And I was like, dog, there's nothing about it.
And everything. And he was like, nah, nigga.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Then what happened was less than six months later, that man
he was in it.
I text Devon back. I remember that conversation. He's like, I know.
Yeah. Yep. But you see it, whether it's Machine Gun Kelly or whether it's Miley Cyrus or whatever, they'll make comments. Or even, buddy, who's the dirty guy with the tattoos on his face? But he's,
which one? Post Malone.
To make you a comment him the like, dirty guy. Hey, my next Post Malone, I'm sure you take showers, my bad. But, you know, I'm not gonna apologize for it, because you when an artist outside of that culture makes a comment, and I feel like this only happens with Black music.
Right.
My next album is gonna be a little bit more authentic, and I don't really see rap as being that mature. It's like because I was like, if I stepped into another culture, if I went to Ireland and I happened to start doing Irish music, I'm always going to have to respect Irish music, because they're always going to be you're an outsider here, you're going to do it. And everybody does it now. Look, country music is a Black art form that has been taken over. Jazz is a Black art form. Blues, a Black art form. Hootie and the Blowfish, Hootie got an ass to go to get invited to the cut. It took a while for Hootie to get
for him to be able to go to the Grand Ole Opry.
Nor a Black artist doing Black music, and they're not Hootie and the Blowfish. They're not inviting him.
Yeah.
Everybody can gatekeep their culture, but when Black people do stuff, they're like, well, why aren't y'all sharing? And you're like, well, I mean, we was doing this too, but look, I got my problems with Black people. Like, Black people, y'all got to stop the cookouts and the, you know, like, my girl held a note for like,
you can do it
dance. I'm like, stop it. Because I'd be like, dog, just picture them Black. Are you still impressed? Like, if you wanted to win on the Apollo, you had to do a gospel song. If you do a gospel song, we not going to boo you. We like, he not good, but we not going to boo him off the stage. Or if you're a white artist that sings mediocrely, like you come out and you just a little good, they'd be like, "Woo,
yeah, we so open, yeah. We so accepting, huh?
We gotta stop that.
We gotta stop.
We got to.
I mean, that's why I do like Eminem, because Eminem, as much as people make fun of him, Eminem always goes. Eminem does the stuff, even though I defend him for this, because they'll be like, "I'm a guest." Yes, I'm this and that. He uses his voice.
Eminem fans suffer from this.
Eminem fans are terrible. Eminem is not.
And look, I will say this all the time. I said I'm a big fan of Eminem. Eminem and Royce the 5'9" are on the same level, except Royce is better. So my thing is, if you like him, and my thing is, M says that.
Mm-hmm.
Royce and M say that about each other all the time. So
love.
I don't mind if you're like, I think Eminem's the greatest rapper ever. But if Royce ain't even in your top 10, I'm like, I don't think you listen to rap.
Or Redman. When I first heard Eminem, I was like, oh, you listen to Redman. Yeah. And then years later, when they did that song together for the Nutty Professor 2 soundtrack, he was like, yo, like, you're one of my favorite rappers. And I was like, yeah, you can hear it. But then again, I'm a student of rap. So it's kind of like, how when you listen to, like I say, it's for every genre. When you listen to Dave Grohl, who's one of my favorite drummers on the Queens of Stone Age album, he does on a song, Sky is Falling, he does a drum solo that is the exact same solo as one of the Ramones songs. And it's like, but if you're a rock person, you know that, and you have respect for all of that. Yeah. But when it comes to rap, those fans usually just... They just don't.
I mean, you can take it a step farther. You look at Dave Grohl and his days with Nirvana. That conversation he had with Pharrell. Mm-hmm.
He said, about it.
Dave Grohl was literally saying, for Nirvana smells like Teen Spirit. And that whole album, he's like, I took the drums from the Gap Band.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the funny thing.
Like that.
Until he said
slow it down.
I literally, I never, I was like, and I listened to You Drop the Bomb on Me. I listen to Smells Like Teen Spirit. But until you hear the drums and he does it, I'm like, oh my God, you really
did it.
Take the drums from the Gap Band. The funny thing I find about that conversation is that he ran into the drummer from the Gap Band. He's like, hey, I'm Dave. I love your stuff. And he goes, yeah, I know. He goes, I took all your stuff. And my thing is, I was like, I wonder how they feel. Like, it felt like, on one hand, it's like, I'm so glad that people mimic my style. But on the other hand, I'm not getting these accolades that other people like. I built up a whole genre. Grunge music was built off of me.
Yeah.
Boom.
But, you know. That, so, we say all that to say, how's it for you working in Baltimore?
We just elbow dropped every other race when it comes to our music.
Drawn out way to say, what is it like now? Because what are the responses? Or what do people say? Whether it's Black people like, hey, like, how do Black people feel about you doing a new form of music? Because I know you had fans that were like, oh, this ain't Crash Dummies. And then how are white people that are like, hey, man, what you doing up here?
Woo! Oh, man. So, and I'm sorry to say this, Black people don't respect, well, I don't want to say Black people, because that kind of grabs us off.
When
not every Black niggas. Niggas don't respect art. They don't give a fuck about none of that shit. They don't care about where you got it from. There's a complete disrespect with niggas when it comes to rap music and when it comes to rock music. They don't give a damn. We're talking about niggas here, not Black people. Niggas. I don't care how lyrical that shit is. It's fucking garbage. It's boring. I want to hear niggas talk about some ignorant shit. Okay. Well, what if I come to you with a song that's fucking going crazy right now? Like, it's going nuts. Everybody fucking loves it. I don't like it because my ears is used to only one thing.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? They have drowned themselves so far into this thing that was created, not by us, by the way. We dumb enough to be like, yeah, I want that money too, so I'm gonna go ahead and make this fucking unauthentic music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna talk about murder. I'm gonna talk about bitches. I'm gonna talk about selling drugs. It's cool if you talking about that and you really did it. These niggas got from the suburbs, got a loving mother and father, offered me cookies. You know what I'm saying? Like, just sweet. But you doing this because you trying to get to the bag, right? People and niggas, we talking about niggas. When niggas hear my shit and they heard the switch up, they had no choice but to respect it. Because it's different when you go and you in here and you making rock music, right? But you in here, you using your voice like a white person. All my life I've been dead. That's unauthentic.
Mm-hmm. You're unauthentic. I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not that.
You ain't a real nigga.
No. You ain't that. You ain't a real cracker. You not a real nigga. You not none of that. Who are you? Who are you? Because when you talking to me, man, no, I'm talking about, man, I just wanted to go out there and do my Trippy Red shit. All right, cool. That's cool. But stop coming up in this fucking studio, bro, and telling niggas, man, make me sound like Travis Scott. Make me sound like this. Make me sound like that. Niggas don't know how to do it. But when I give it to you, when I gave them what I had that was new, when I gave these niggas that, niggas was taken back and they was like, damn, I think I might like funk pop. I think I might like rock music.
Well, see, that's why I gotta be honest. That's why I might push back on the difference between the niggas and Black people thing, because really it's people rejecting something that sounds inauthentic. There are a lot of people like, I don't want to hear the whiny voice music. If you're gonna sing on a rock song, I want to hear actual singing. I want to hear right. your voice like come through. Because there are a lot of people that do not like, there was a wave of rock that happened after grunge that was very record company created pop-ish. Where it was this is what we're gonna
emo pop. I'm not a fan.
I'm gonna use them. I mean, I think they're still a good band, but there's people like, you know, My Chemical Romance.
I didn't like
where
that.
It was like, this is the sound, and then everybody said, "All right, we all gonna do this sound for a little bit." What's that? Other that band? Might not be something that shines through to a lot of people on that.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan either.
You didn't like My Chemical Romance?
Hell no, not My Chemical
Romance. I love Queens of the Stone Age. I love you know, it's funny too, because I was like,
I gotta listen to that.
There, Queens of the Stone Age is excellent, but your boy, the girl and boy duo, Jack White.
The White Stripes.
The White Stripes, I felt like resonated with a lot of black people, mainly because they had strong bass beats on a lot of the stuff. And it's like, you're hearing it like, Seven Nation Army is a good song.
That bass line.
The bass line on Seven Nation Army, you're like, oh, I can get with this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it makes things a lot more palatable, I guess, to our audiences. Like, that's another thing. That's why I'm saying, I understand what you're saying, because I'm like, I don't see a lot of, when I was at the Trippie Redd concert, I was like, oh, y'all listening to rock music, and y'all like it. We just not calling it rock music.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Y'all are calling yourselves rock stars. Y'all dress like rock stars. They're guitars. Like, everything is here for rock music, but I'm like, y'all don't want to call this rock? They're like,
Is that not a media thing, though?
Yeah. You said what?
Is that not the media painting a picture?
That's rap. Absolute media thing.
Yeah.
That is an absolute media thing. Like, there's always been, and I'm not, yeah, this is not to blame it just on the artist. That's why I said I had to push back on the niggas and black people thing, because you got kids that are like, I just want to make it. I just want to be heard. And you have labels that are like, this is obviously how you're going to do it. You were part of that. You had people around you that was like, dog, this is how you got to rap. This is what sells. This is what does it. You got to do it this way. There ain't no other way to do it until somebody else does it. We seen the videos of Travis Scott in front of 8 people rocking out. Nobody cared.
In 2013.
You know what I mean? 5 years later, it's a totally different tune. And now everybody's like, okay, now that's how you got to do it. You got to do it that way. I know I said you got to do it this way 5 years ago, but I was wrong. Now you got to do it this way. This is what everybody want to hear. It pays for everybody to just do what they want to do. Do what you want to do. That's the authenticity. Because whether you like it, whether the people like it or not, at least you're honest with yourself and you ain't got to change it up. You might never sell one record, but you're happy about what you did.
Yeah. Go to sleep at night. Being Jack.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's weird. Only because with the newer kids that are actually like alive now, like coming into this, there is a wave of black kids, and these black kids are also bringing around a bunch of other kids, right?
Yeah.
And there's this new wave that I feel I am going to be a part of, because I'm creating it in some weird ass way, right? Right now, I'm here. But when I'm there, there's a different, I'll say, we are evolving as humans now. It's not so black and white no more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so, I'm a rapper, I'm a rock star, I'm a blues guy. This new generation is completely killing genres.
It's the artists.
Yeah.
It's completely dying. The whole put them in the box. That shit right there is being executed. Because now we are showing what different can make. Different can make something that you have never heard before.
Yeah.
You have never heard nothing like this before. I ain't never heard no H-Town nigga on no fucking rock beat speaking like a H-Town nigga. It's taking things and smashing them in together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Genre.
And these kids don't, they painting nails, they taking shit, from different sides and everything. But this whole complete, there's going to be a whole completely new thing that's happening, man. And this whole rapper, rock star thing, it's going to be a thing of the past, man. I feel like Trippie Redd is just part of the bridge who's bringing these niggas over here. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. There's a higher level of confidence amongst the kids and just being like, they listen to everything.
They do say
that too. They listen to absolutely everything. So it's like they have no problem saying like, oh, I'm going to listen to Mariah Carey one day. I'm going to listen to 3-6 Mafia one day. I'm going to listen to the Stone Age another day. And there's a level of freedom there that I will say. It's just like you said, there are certain people that were raised to be put inside of a tiny box. And they're like, nah, I don't got that box. Like, I'm gonna rock what I want to rock. Even Will, at the beginning of this, you said your boy got in a fight because somebody was making fun of him for wearing a Mario backpack. And now, all I kept thinking was, today, nobody would bat an eye because these kids wear whatever they want.
Gang members have Mario backpacks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They will kill you in skinny jeans and be running away.
They're like, God, I will wear whatever I want. I'm confident.
I'm about to say, some of the illest killers that I know dress in the tightest clothes and will murder you. Like, seriously.
I don't know no killers. You know what I'm saying? I got to say that on camera. What would you say? You know what? I said, because we could talk to you forever, but I did want to know, what is this emerging scene here in Houston when you're looking at people getting into the lifestyle of rock? And as these genres bend and break and reform, what's it like here in the city?
Houston. This is the place where niggas tell me, man, you need to go to fucking California. Nigga, you need to go to New York, nigga, because this shit that you got going on, nigga, ain't happening over here, Kev. And I'm just like, what? Okay. You got me fucked up. I like shit like that. I like when somebody tell me that I can't do something. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fear hunter now. You know what I'm saying? So now as I go across and I meet people in Houston, right? I am seeing these kids with purple hair, green hair. They have taken in goth clothing and mixed it with some bright shit. They have names like Starlight 777, 666, 1111. They all talking about manifestation. They all talking about how's their spirit, how I'm feeling spiritually. I'm taking things the way my spirit takes them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've got crystals. I'm burning sage. We're going to a scene where everybody is expressing every little detail with creativity and spirituality. They taking it and doing this with. Because now it's kids coming up to me, man, like, man, bro, I really fuck with that video, bro. Like, I've been trying to manifest and learn about manifestations. Man, I'm trying to learn how to get my spirit right. I'm trying to go on a spiritual journey. I give these niggas the blues. And then they go out there and they be like, bro, ever since you told me this shit, I start seeing weird shit. Like they look at the clock and now all of a sudden it's 222s and 111s and all of the, you in alignment. That wave is a new thing. And it's about to completely sweep everything, because I didn't have to do all the work on, I'm not doing the work on my own. They finding it somehow.
Yeah.
It's other niggas that are like me too.
Yeah.
And it's just going to blow the fucking shit over. Everything. Everything. Niggas ain't gonna wanna be rock stars no more. They gonna wanna be fucking moto boys, moto girls. They gonna wanna be something that's not what everybody is. They wanna be different now. They wanna be in alignment now. And I'm here, and we talk about the tattoo, right? This lightning bolt right here, right? Niggas ask me what this means. I light. I enlighten. I am here to enlighten the world. I'm here to enlighten the world. That's all I'm here for. I'm moving on purpose now. This ain't about money. This ain't about cars. This ain't about fucking man. I'm serving. I'm serving now. There is no king here. There is no crowns. We king killers. Kings kill. They kill shit. Nah, man. These niggas is now knowing that I don't have to be dark energy. I don't have to be dark energy to be sexy, to be attractive, to be all of this other shit that these niggas gotta, they telling you you gotta do. These niggas don't wanna fucking do gang shit no more. Why? Because it's stupid. You going to jail or you getting murdered? Which one you want, bro? Take your pick, bro. They're smarter now. They're smarter now. They notice that black people, the one thing that we good at is creating.
Yeah.
We create. So the shit that we create can literally touch the fucking world, bro. And that is all I am impuking into every little mind, big minds, medium mind that I fucking come across. And then it just spread like fucking wildfire. So eventually, y'all gonna look around this city, and I'm gonna make sure that I call y'all again. I'm gonna say, I want y'all to go outside, and I want y'all to go and tell me what y'all see when y'all look around. You gonna see niggas with different color hair, mixing dark and bright, speaking of enlightenment instead of, I'm depressed. I want to kill myself. Like, we not on that shit no more, bro. We are now puking life. We are now letting niggas know that happiness and joy and all of that shit that comes to life energy. Fuck that demon shit, bro. We demon killers. It's an angel movement that we're doing now. So that's where we going now. That's where Houston is going to go, because I'm going to make sure that it happens. And I ain't leaving this bitch until it does happen. You feel me? It's my only purpose right now is to spread that, because how many lives can I save?
Powerful. Powerful. Jack, where can we find you, my G?
Bro, y'all can find me on IG, TikTok, at ilove.jackjack. And remember, I love you too. And at the same time, you can also go on YouTube. The link's in the bio, baby. I promise. I got everything ready. It's organized for you. Videos is here. Apple Music's here. Spotify is here.
Organized.
You can go there and literally enlighten your mind. Enlighten your mind. I'm not saying you cannot fucking dance. What? Girl, bounce that ass. They don't even know the fucking words. They just bouncing that ass because of the frequency of the music. I have that from the black people. We have that rhythm. So it ain't no idea if it's going to be bouncy, my guy. You're going to be bouncy. But once you actually pay attention and listen, which is what I want these niggas to understand, listen more than you talk, you're going to find something that's going to fucking probably take your life to a different place that you never thought you could go.
That's good, brother. Take your life to a different place where you never thought you would go. Also, look up Jack Poison. I mean, the video's doing numbers. It's a good song. Also, I mean, you're gonna check it out. You guys gotta check it out once again.
Got to.
Thank you guys for coming in, or really just staying in. Thank you, Jack. And also, this has been a great episode with you, Jack. I am Avery, like a very nice guy. That's my brother, Jess Devon, and humbly yours. And my Humble Opinion Podcast, H-Town. too sweet.
Bingo.
H-Town is too sweet.